Welcome to the podcast of the Day One Weekly Broadcast with your host, Peter Wallace. Day One brings you outstanding preachers from America's mainline churches. For more information or to make a donation, please visit our website at dayone.org.
As we approach Christmas, let each of us see beyond the clutter of living to the hope that was born so many years ago in Bethlehem. We're challenged to unclutter our lives, to find the Christ who is there with us, in us, and calling for us to come and follow.
That's the Reverend Dr. Wiley Stevens, and today he brings you a challenging message of faith and hope. I'm Peter Wallace. This is Day One.
Welcome to Day One, the weekly program that brings you outstanding preachers from America's mainline Protestant churches, sharing insight and inspiration from God's Word for your life. Now, here's your host, Peter Wallace, to introduce this week's speaker.
Thank you, Sherry. As we observe the second Sunday of Advent, we're pleased to welcome the Reverend Dr. B. Wiley Stevens, Senior Pastor of Dunwoody United Methodist Church in Dunwoody, Georgia. Wiley's been with us several times over the past 7 years, and he's celebrating 45 years in the North Georgia Conference of the United Methodist Church and 20 years at Dunwoody United Methodist. Wiley, thanks for being with us for these next 3 Sundays.
It's a joy to be here.
This is the 7th year you've been with us now, and we've been following the growth and changes at Dunwoody United Methodist Church through these years. But what are some of the ministries and activities you're focusing on these days?
Well, it's much a continuum of what we are. We attempt to be a community church. Dunwoody is now officially a city.
Right.
And we focus on the families that are in Dunwoody. Of course, some are single households and some are many with children, but many of them are young families with children and youth. And so that's the major focus of the church, children ministries and youth ministries.
Last week, we began a new church year with the first Sunday of Advent, and you'll be taking us through the next 3 weeks of this special season. But how would you describe what the church is going through theologically or spiritually in Advent?
I think it's a call back to our roots. Just as most of us want to get home at Christmas, We want to get home in the church, too, back to the basics that God so loved the world that He gave His Son, and we accept that gift.
I'm sure your church will have a whole host of Advent and Christmas activities. What are some of the ones that your members look forward to most?
Well, a lot of Advent and Christmas centers around music.
Mm-hmm.
And we will have concerts of all ages of singers, from the youngest children's choirs to our chancel choir that will bring us some of the beautiful music of the season. We all look forward to, of course, the Christmas Eve time and the time of candlelight services. We do a special service called the Service of Hope for those who have had a loss this year and are dealing with either death or maybe the loss of a job or a physical issue or whatever. We do that on the last Sunday of Advent, sort of the longest night of the year to bring that hope. And there'll be other special seasons too.
Wiley, let's be honest, a lot of people only come to church for the big holidays, Christmas and Easter, for example. But isn't that better than nothing? What do you hope to communicate to them when they do make it to church?
Well, I see it as opportunity in two ways. One is to make them want to come back on other Sundays, make it an experience they want to repeat. But even if they don't want to repeat, to plant some seeds of faith and hope in their lives that will give them the strength they need in the days ahead. I see it as opportunity.
This season can be so busy, not only with church activities, but social obligations, get-togethers with family, friends, neighbors, coworkers. There's travel, gift-giving, and all of that. How do you and your church try to encourage folks not to forget the reason for all this activity and celebration, to keep the spiritual aspect foremost?
Well, one thing we do is the members of the congregation prepare an Advent devotional guide where they write a daily devotional. Some, in this case, almost 30 people, will write a daily devotional guide that each member will read and pray that day to sort of start the day right.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the worship I mentioned as well is another attempt.
Well, today's gospel lesson from Luke chapter 3 takes us back to John the Baptist preparing the way. Would you read the text for us?
This particular text, Peter, comes from the 3rd chapter, first 6 verses. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip ruler of the regions of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias ruler of Abilene. During the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. It is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God.
Luke goes to great pains here, it seems, to firmly establish the historical context. This is the 15th year of Emperor Tiberius, Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod ruler of Galilee, and so forth and so on. Why was that so important to do you think?
I think it was important because if you have the incarnation, it needs to be at a specific time in a specific place. And Luke tried to affirm it as best he could with dates that could be tied to other calendars and other histories.
And Luke indicates that John the Baptist's ministry was a fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. I get the first part of that prophecy. He's crying in the wilderness to prepare the way for the Christ. But what does he mean about every valley being filled, every mountain and hill made low, the crooked made straight? For what purpose? What does that mean?
Of course, if you've ever seen any major construction work, you know that hills have to be moved and you have to fill valleys to have a smooth road, a road that is straight and drivable. And it was the same in ancient days, even though they didn't have quite the engineering problems we have because they didn't have the speed we have. So the idea is you prepare the way, you make it possible. And in our hearts, in our lives, we have to be willing to pay a price if we want to make the way for God to come to our world.
We do everything we can to make sure he gets here.
That's our goal.
Well, Wiley, we look forward to learning more about this in your sermon entitled Uncluttering. Thank you for being with us.
My pleasure. Christmas is a time for cluttering. For most of us, our calendar is already filled. And yet we find more things pushing themselves upon us. Be honest, most of us know that our lives, our homes, our schedules, our world is already overstuffed, and here we bring out more stuff. When we begin to decorate, boxes are pulled out from the attic, the basement, a closet, or maybe from all these places. As we begin to unpack the decorations, they bring out with them so many memories. But in order to find a place to put them, we have to rearrange some of the things that are already out in our homes during the year. Most of our homes already have things filling the shelves, the tabletops, and the cabinets, and here comes more. The world doesn't stop for Christmas. Many will still have to work or keep appointments or do those things that keep our lives running. But now we must find more time for friends and family. We add to an already hectic world more things we must do. Then there is shopping. The economic times we live in make this even a greater challenge as we desire to please those we are giving gifts to with the budget we have to spend. This means more time and more effort. If our calendars and homes and budgets are not parables enough of how Christmas is a time for cluttering, how about our waistlines? Even the best intended diet is challenged with all the sweets and goodies that are offered during the holidays. Too much time around the dessert table can give us another parable of cluttering. As the rush and hurry of preparing for Christmas begins to crowd into already filled lives, we hear with new meaning the words of the prophet Malachi, but who can endure the day of his coming? Of course, Malachi's question was one of far greater magnitude of standing before the judgment of God, but his warning speaks to us as we approach another Christmas season. We don't know how much the wise men paid for their gifts, much less if they found them on sale. We really don't know how much time or effort was invested by the shepherds. But we know that both the wise men and the shepherds all came for one reason, to worship and adore the one who came at Christmas. They were not distracted by clutter in their lives. Out of all the stars that filled the sky, the wise men stayed focused on one. The sheep had for a moment to be set aside, to go to Bethlehem and see what the angels told of. John the Baptist, who speaks out in our gospel this day, was one of the most colorful characters in all of history. He wore a camel hair coat long before that became fashionable. His diet consisted of locusts and wild honey, and his marketing techniques weren't the best in all of history. He went out into the wilderness away from the city, away from the crowds, to attract a great crowd. He seemed almost determined to fail. Despite all these things, we would call poor marketing, Matthew tells us that people from all over the region were flocking to hear this message. The challenge in John's word in the wilderness came from the prophet Isaiah, spoken at the time Israel was in exile in Babylon. Separating God's people from their home was the wilderness, a barrier that appeared impossible for them to deal with. The promise in Isaiah 40, where we find the words John uses, is that comfort will come to God's people, that in the wilderness a way will be prepared for the Lord, much like the way was prepared for ancient kings to visit the remote parts of their kingdom. Before the vision of returning home could be fulfilled for those who first heard Isaiah's words, it would take the efforts of many, as well, more importantly, the divine guidance and blessings of God. And the promise of what this new way will open is not limited to the people in exile, or in the case of the promise from John, to those who hear his call, but to all flesh. There will be new power and hope that comes from God's presence in our lives and in our world. In these days leading up to Christmas, may we see beyond the clutter of living to the hope that was born so many years ago in Bethlehem. We too can find the way home. The call is for us to find the way to God to be in our days and our hearts. Why is the way of the Lord not already prepared in our hearts? Well, at least in one way, you could say it is. St. Augustine was right when he prayed to God that our hearts were restless until they find rest in God. So how can we approach such a holy season as Christmas and miss the holy? Where does all this clutter come from? How did our days get so filled? Could it be a failure on our part to prioritize that which should take precedence in our lives? Look at your calendar for the days between now and Christmas. Where have you set aside time for worship, for prayer, for some quiet time? A major part of uncluttering is making sure there is time for God to touch our lives and shape our days. As we look at your plans for the holidays, ask, have you been so busy making sure that you do what you think everyone expects of you, that you've not left a little time to spend some quality time with those you love? Maybe a friend or loved one needs you more than the gift you will spend hours trying to find. Maybe more important than perfection in our decorations is a smile on our face as we spend time with those dear to us. Preparing a way means willing to ask some tough questions and make some hard decisions. One might define clutter as a disordered state. You can many times see what clutter is by looking at my desk or my office or car or closet. Clutter can be discouraging to us. It can become a barrier to one making any progress or keeping one's focus. One step is to make sure that everything has a home in our lives. Clutter at home or in the office or shop is many times merely a problem of storage. Clutter in our thinking is trying to focus on too many things at once. We need to learn to focus on one thing at a time. When we multitask, when we try to do too many things, or set too many goals, the result is that we can easily face a stack of uncompleted things in our lives, which clutters our days and our thoughts. To prepare the way of the Lord means to make choices. We must decide on what we are to focus our lives and days on. We must decide what we keep. Think with me for a moment of some of the clutter that is filled for some their hearts and minds, and drains for some the hopes and diminishes our energy. There are the regrets of things we do not do in the past or things we wished we had done. You might call this the clutter of the way not chosen. Remember the words of Robert Frost, "Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both." But the truth is now only one road can be traveled at a time. How we choose can make all the difference in our lives. There is envy in what we perceive to be the reality in the lives of others. Let us remember that the grass may seem greener on the other side of the fence, but it also needs cutting. With every blessing there comes responsibilities. We must make critical choices as we unclutter. During the era of apartheid, one noted South African clergyman wrote a very similar thought when he said, "The final judgment, as we stand before God, He will ask us, 'Where are your scars?' And we will look at ourselves and then back at God and tell Him, 'We have no scars.' God will ask us, 'Was there nothing worth fighting for?'" Clutter comes when we cannot find that which is worth fighting for, those times we're not willing to make the critical choices. To unclutter means not just moving from one crisis to another, but moving with a sense of purpose. The Christmas carol says it well when we sing, "O come, let us adore Him," and not, "O come, let us ignore Him." It means we prepare the way of the Lord, that the Lord reigns in our lives. Almost a century ago, Dr. Roland Walker, a faculty member at Ohio Wesleyan University at the time, wrote these words, "To the Governing General of the Universe, Dear Sir, I hereby resign my self-appointed position as directing superintendent of my own life and the world. I cannot level all the mountains of injustice, nor fill the valleys of selfishness. There is too much of it in me. I hereby turn over to you for your disposition and use my life, my money, my time, and my talents to be at your disposal. Your obedient servant, Raleigh Walker." The challenge is for us to surrender to God's control, to prepare the way of the Lord. That doesn't just happen with Christmas. This needs to be intentional on our part. Not only does it not just happen, but also in many ways the rush and the push of the holidays make it even more difficult. The need to prepare the way of the Lord, to unclutter our lives, to focus our thinking, to be intentional, is a challenge. Not that road building is easy. One can marvel at some of the engineering of our interstate system, at roads that cut through mountain ranges or at the hearts of cities, roads to handle thousands of cars a day. But even more difficult is the human cost as neighborhoods are divided, people are dislocated by construction. The most expensive highway project in our national history was known as the Big Dig. It is in Boston. It involved building a buried highway through the heart of the city. It is about 3.5 miles in length, and by the time it was finished, cost a staggering $22 billion. Barney Frank, a congressman from the area, said it would have been cheaper to raise the city instead of lowering the road. The challenge is to get our lives in such order that our hearts will be open to the way of the Lord. Once we have settled the issue who is first in our lives, we do not have to deal with the clutter of divided loyalties. The one who was born at Bethlehem will be the Lord of our lives. If we are willing to let God prepare the way, all else that could crowd into our lives is measured by the standard of His love and His grace. By failing that standard, we do not allow it to deter us from following Him. To do this, John, in using the words of Isaiah, challenges us that every valley shall be filled and every mountain brought low. Those valleys or low places in our lives, such as worry or grief or doubt, can be filled with an awareness of the very presence of the living Christ. The mountains we must deal with in our hearts include pride, prejudice, fear, and selfishness. When these are brought low, we can see a greater horizon. We can see the way of the Lord. The gospel also calls for us to make the crooked places straight. We're challenged to confront those temptations in our lives that will lure us away, to push back the trivial that may fill our minds and hearts and seek God's ways. We're being challenged to take the steps in our lives to deal with the major issues that we must deal with. And we're told to make the rough way smooth. In our lives, this may mean for us to forgive those who have hurt us, to refuse to allow what has happened to you to control your life. We need to make sure there's enough time for those that we care about. One can make this way open for God to come into our lives when one can trust God enough to lay our burdens down. When the unexamined, unchallenged have cluttered our hearts, then the way is not open. Our faith is not merely to avoid evil. That would reduce it to merely rules and commandments. The challenge is to be able to set aside some of the good, that keeps us from the best. As we approach Christmas, let each of us see beyond the clutter of living to the hope that was born so many years ago in Bethlehem. We too can find the way home. The call for us is to find the way for God to be in our days and our hearts. Those who went to the wilderness were challenged to turn and go in a new direction in their lives, leaving behind much of what they had believed and looking for a new way. Few people are kept from Christ by some great overpowering evil. Most fail to see or hear because they are preoccupied with good things, busy at work, acquiring wealth, enjoying entertainment, being comfortable, but not seeking the best. We are challenged to unclutter our lives, to find the Christ who is there with us, in us, and calling for us to come and follow. Let us pray. Almighty God, as our days are filled with so many demands, help us to focus our lives upon your will and your way. Amen.
Now let's rejoin our host, Peter Wallace and Wiley Stevens, for some final thoughts on this week's message.
Wiley, you started your sermon with several reminders of how this season leading up to Christmas can be so cluttered with activities, responsibilities, financial stresses, and so much more. And you reminded us that the wise men and the shepherds all came for one reason, to worship and adore the Christ child. How can we see them more clearly as models for taking a healthy spiritual approach to this season?
Well, I think both of those groups, the shepherds and the wise ones, went against what many would say around them. And we need to focus on what God wants and not just what other people say we need to do. Mm-hmm. I think the second thing is they saw what they wanted and went after it. And if we want to find the joy and the peace of God in our lives, we need to make it a priority.
You reminded us that the Isaiah passage quoted in today's gospel lesson was originally addressed to the people of Israel who were in exile in Babylon. They were far away from home, and God was promising them a way home. Of course, Israel experienced a lot of history between that prophecy and later, but what does that tell us about how we should think about God's promises for us in the season?
We shouldn't expect, like we do in most of life, instant gratification. Mm. It's always a fulfilling promise. And what starts in Christmas doesn't finish in Christmas. We must let it live into our lives.
So we live in the light of that promise.
That's right, and journey in that light and continue sometimes to struggle, but sometimes successfully go forward.
Physical clutter, you noted, can be discouraging to us. It's distracting, it's overwhelming at times, and you suggested that we learn to focus on one thing at a time. But we also deal with spiritual and emotional clutter. There's so much going on in our minds and hearts. What are some ways that we can clean up that clutter as well during this season?
Well, for example, many of us will be guilty of bringing things from work home. And if we can just park that at the door and focus on those that we live with, I think we'll be doing a lot better with that clutter. Or we can let the clutter of something that bothers us, perhaps a physical problem or a financial worry, block us from some other joys we could have if we just step aside for a moment and focus on the moment.
You gave us some wonderful insights into how we can use these words of Isaiah to prepare the way of the Lord in our lives, to make the crooked places straight, for instance, by confronting the temptations that lure us away, or take steps to deal with the major issues that we must deal with. This is hard work, and we have to be very intentional about this, don't we?
Oh, yes. It is one we have to do over and over again. I think anybody in the highway work would tell you, once the road is built, you still got maintenance, and we have to do that as well.
Wiley Stevens, thank you for being with us. We look forward to having you back next week.
I look forward to it.
Day One brings you preachers from the mainline Protestant churches, including the United Methodist Church, the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship, the Episcopal Church, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, the Presbyterian Church USA, and the United Church of Christ. Donald Jones is our production supervisor and audio engineer, and Peter Wallace, our executive producer. It's been our joy to bring you today's program. Thanks for joining us. I'm Sherry Miller wishing you all God's blessings on day one and forever. Now, here's a special message from the president of Day One, the Reverend Canon Louis Schuettig.
I know we all face difficulties in these economic times, and the churches and charities to which we are committed are all in need of our financial support. However, here at Day One, we have no membership to rely on. We have no congregation. We have you, and thousands of others like you who enjoy these wonderful preachers from all across America. With a budget shortfall between now and the end of the year, I want to ask you to take a moment to consider our sincere request for a financial donation to Day One. Anything you can give will be so appreciated. You can mail your gift to Day One, 644 West Peachtree Street, Suite 300, Atlanta, Georgia, 30308. Again, that's Day One, 644 West Peachtree Street, Suite 300, Atlanta, Georgia, 30308. Or you can give online at dayone.org. Thank you for listening so faithfully, and thank you for helping us keep Day One on the air.